And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 775, coming at you on a Monday, recapping the week 17 Fab and much more. In order to help me do that is a friend of the show, a co-host of the show. You can find him on Twitter at BreakingBen_T-Bented. How are we doing, my friend?
Doing very well, Bubba. It's the All-Star break. We've made it. Finally, we've been talking about it approaching, and it's actually here now. But, of course, everyone hates the All-Star break, it sounds like. I mean, at least they hate the All-Star game, and they hate the Home Run Derby. Everything else about it, though, everyone likes. But I'll probably watch the Derby a little bit tonight. I'll definitely check in on the All-Star game just because, I don't know, it's a summer tradition for me. I'm still relatively young. I'm not, like, that young, but, you know. It wasn't that long ago. I was really into it.
Not bitter and old yet.
No.
Yeah, no. Yeah,
I still see the positives and things. No, I'm just kidding. But, yeah, it's a good time to take a break.
Definitely a good time to take a break. Yeah, I'll have the Derby on while I'm doing stuff in the office. Like it'll be on. Like I have it on right now as they're warming up to get ready to play. The All-Star game I used to religiously watch. It's definitely an exhibition now with all the people getting in. So, yeah, teach their own. If you enjoy it, live it up. If not, go do something for a couple of days. Pick your poison, but don't drag people down with you. Very simple situation on that. But we're here to recap a week in Fab. We're going to go over some news and discuss briefly Ben's latest article, his contribution to the Patreon, which is really cool stuff. Looking at some first half numbers, so we'll get to that shortly as well. But first, let's get into some news and notes here. Austin Riley heads back to the IL. Ben, Nacho Alvarez was recalled. There is still no timetable for Austin Riley's injury, which is not great, honestly. But it's also the Braves who last time kept him out for 10 days before putting him on the IL. So you never really know how that one was going to pan out. But where are you at on this Austin Riley situation? Because he's obviously out for at least 10 games with said injury, but nothing else we know for sure about that.
I have Riley in a couple of spots. One is a Fab League, and I did not consider dropping him this past week. Because you don't really have to with the All-Star break. You can kind of get a free look with a lot of scenarios. But I don't – what was the injury that he even had? I don't think I even looked too closely to see what it was. It's abdomen. So –
yeah,
that could easily be an oblique, maybe.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. Yes, it's funny how this year we've heard a lot of like flank ab, like they're trying to, I think, sugarcoat things. It feels like these days.
Yeah, and then someone has soreness when it's actually like a pulled muscle. I mean, you can just, it's not going to make it go away quicker if you say it's not as severe as it actually is. It's just how you describe it, and if you describe it poorly, then people are going to get pissed at you, which is what happens at least in fantasy, but. That's a different debate. So, yeah, you mentioned the replacement, Nacho Alvarez, which he has a great name. He went from – so this is something I heard on another podcast, the Waxman's Pod. They're talking about Alvarez for ads and how he went from stealing 26 bases to none this year, really. It looks like he's been hurt, though. That's the thing. So he played 112 games last year, Nacho Alvarez. This year, only 13 in the minors. But he went from 26 to no steals so far. I think Chris Clegg said – he's kind of slow, so maybe the steals aren't actually a legit thing once he gets to the majors. Maybe he's taking advantage of the lesser competition in the minors. But there's a chance he actually could steal, I guess, still. But it really depends on Riley's his injury and how quickly he's back. So I didn't even consider looking at the replacement for Riley in Fab yesterday. But just hold on to Riley for now, and hopefully by the time Sunday comes around, there's a little bit of a timetable of what it's looking like for his return date.
Yep, agreed. Can't cut him just yet. See what happens. We'd like to get at least an idea of like a grade to the strain or whatnot. We have nothing to go off of. And we've done this Nacho thing before. He got called up last year when Albies got hurt, didn't pan out. I'll just sit back and let someone else spend money and maybe it works out for him. Probably doesn't. This is just me venting. Zach Geloff got sent back to AAA. He's played seven games this season, has two hits, striking out nearly 50% of the time. Luis Urias was activated from the IL. Max Muncy's playing second. Miguel Andujar's playing third. I dropped Geloff. We'll talk about that. I added him everywhere the week before, for those that remember. But I don't think he's going to be gone. I think he just needs more of like a spring training, to tell the truth. So I think we'll see Geloff in a few weeks. But I just want to mention that. I don't know if you have any thoughts on the Geloff demotion.
No, I did think of you, though. I'm sorry that you had to waste your Fab on that because the A's are stupid. But I digress.
Yeah, when Miguel Andujar and Luis Urias and Gio Urshela are more valuable than Zach Geloff, that's why I'm thinking he's just like, hey, let's go get him every day at bats at AAA, get his mind right, and then we'll bring him back. That's my hopes in this. Because even though he was striking out a ton, his quality of contact, like his hard hit, his barrel, are still very Zach Geloff-esque in a short sample. So optimistic there. Connor Norby heads to the IL. Graham Pauly is recalled. I don't have a whole lot on Connor Norby, as I was already prepared to drop him this past week, as it's been pretty bleak for Connor Norby, and now the IL stint pretty much gets that whole situation out for me there. Do you have any other thoughts on Mr. Norby gone, Graham Pauly up? Norby's on the IL with a wrist injury.
Yeah, his note says Norby's seeing a specialist. That does not sound good, but I guess I'll give him a little more credit. It seems like he was kind of picking it up over the last few weeks. He had three homers and two steals over the last 4 weeks, which is pretty productive, especially, and the average wasn't terrible. He had a couple of weeks good average, a couple of weeks bad average, but there, yeah, I see a few weeks there where it was pretty crappy for Norby. So yeah, he's definitely a drop come Fab on Sunday if you didn't already drop him. And yeah, I don't think Paulie's really any good, because I remember his name being a thing in Fab last year, and look at this. Yeah, he's a non-factor for fantasy, Graham Pauly. So move on.
Yeah, Bloomfield has a good point. $88 at the bar is better money spent than your Geloff bid. Yep, that's fair. That's fair. And then where's the backward hats? If you know, you know. That's all I'm going to say on that one. All right, let's go to Jake Meyers of the Houston Astros. He was placed on the IL with a quad injury. The general manager of the Astros came out and said it'll be at least 3 weeks for Jake Meyers, which in Astros terms, like 3 years based on their injury concerns. I don't know. The season's getting shorter is the best way I'll say this. Pretty soon, we have like 2.5 months to go when all things are said and done. So 3 weeks, now we have less than 2 months to go with Jake Meyers. If you're a Jake Meyers manager, where do you sit on this one?
Well, I'm not, but I'm looking at his stats, and he's kind of having a career season, Meyers, which is very – at 29 years old, that's kind of impressive for him. Yeah, the calf is tricky. If you're pressed for roster spots, you probably got to drop him, I think, because, I mean, his upside isn't really that high. He's definitely more of a 15-team type player in my mind. But the way he's been playing, I could see the steals and the average being useful in 12s. I mean, the power hasn't been there compared to previous years where he had 13 and 10 homers. He only has three this year, Meyers. So you could probably cut him. It stinks. And, yeah, I like to joke about three weeks equals 3 years for the Astros. It's kind of how it feels like, at least 3 months. I won't go 3 years, but 3 months. It's kind of more like the timetable we're looking.
Yeah, for you Yordan Alvarez fans, he's seen a hand specialist and maybe cleared to swing later this week or back to normal. We'll see. Hunter Dobbins, the Boston Red Sox, tore his ACL on a play when it first came back off the IL, so he's done for the season. Richard Fitz has been recalled from AAA. I still think this is Kyle Harrison's job very, very soon. What are your thoughts on this Boston Red Sox situation?
That's a good call about Harrison. I did have interest in Fitz, though, I believe, if he was available in my leagues. He has an awful two-step projected after the All-Star break, the week after, because he's lined up per RotoWire to face the Phillies and then the Dodgers, so no thank you there.
Nope, that will not be fitting in that
one. But
be here all week. All right, let's get to your recent article. You've been talking to me and Ryan about it recently, and we dropped it Monday morning. Really, really good analytical deep dive on main event ADP and comparing it to Razzball's. I want to say player rater, monetary value, so on and so forth. But before I completely screw up everything by talking, just give everybody a synopsis. We're not going to go deep into this. If you want to find it, it's on the Bubba and the Bloom Patreon, but it's really good stuff, and people in the Patreon are loving it, Ben. So let everybody know kind of what you dug in on and maybe a couple key takeaways.
Sure. Yeah, this is my first article in a while. I felt the All-Star break would be a good time to pick the, quote-unquote, the pen back up and do a little writing for you guys, because it's been a while, and I was kind of toying with the idea of this throughout as the season's going on, mainly just being – I was curious about how we are doing ADP-wise, because it does seem like there's been a ton of misses this year in fantasy baseball, especially early on. And I wanted to see if I could quantify that and just show how bad things have been. So my mind went to, as you mentioned, the Razzball player rater, which is pretty widely referenced on across fantasy podcasts and probably written work as well. And then of course, because I do play in the main event, it's probably the premier event in fantasy baseball and it's supposed to have the best ADP. I said, okay, well, how good are we? Well, not necessarily me, but the people in the main event, how good are they at drafting when they put all this money up and they're playing for $200,000, so much is on the line, and they're supposed to be the best of the best. How do they do drafting? And I made a point of this in the article. It's not the best time to do it, like a little over halfway through the season. And I'm going to come back and revisit this at the end of the season and see how things actually look once everything's said and done. But just for now, I was just curious to see how it could be. And I thought it'd be an interesting read during the All-Star break for the patrons, just because now people are taking their breaks from doing fab and research for a couple of days. And I figured, okay, well, if you want to get some more baseball, Phil, maybe you can read this and find it interesting. So to get into what I actually did, so I took the ADP data for all 57 main events. I keep that. I always dump it into my computer once draft season's over, because it's all public information. I had that available. And then I also, it's easy to go to Razzball. You can download their player rater values for whatever league setting. They have a lot of flexibility there as dollar values. And so right away, well, I did copy what Ryan was doing, because you guys did review this in Bubble in the Bloom. I actually reached out to you guys before even knowing what your plan was. And me and Ryan were kind of thinking along the same line. So that was cool. But Ryan looked more at player position in terms of ranking. So hitter, like who were the top 10 first baseman, for example, things like that. So I wanted to get a little more granular and look at the dollar values, kind of do an apples to apples comparison. Well, you're thinking probably, okay, well, you have main event ADP, which is like an average pick number. How do you compare that to a auction value, which is essentially what the Razzball player rate is providing? Well, Ariel Cohen, he tweeted this a table out a couple years ago. I need to go back and find the tweet so I can reference it and also maybe tweet it out there. And I don't know if he's updated it since then, but what he did, the tweet that I'm referencing was a table that showed the estimated dollar value of each pick in a 15-team snake draft. And it went 345 picks deep, because in like a 15-teamer, you have 15 teams and you start 23 players in terms of like the standard NFBC roster. And I think that's kind of standard across the industry. Yahoo's completely different. So that amounts to 345 players. So he had 345 dollar values for each pick in a 15-team draft for your starting lineup. And at one point, I actually went through and typed all those numbers into an Excel file. So I have them saved now. I don't have to do it ever again. It's all there. So I just lined up those dollar values to each ADP position. And then I simply just compared the difference between the Razzball player rater values for every player. And then I subtracted it, or I forget how the order was, but I basically just compared the difference between the player's ADP in the main event versus the Razzball player rater value. And you get a delta, which you learned about last year. A delta is just a fancy way of saying difference between the two. And I color coded it, because we like color coding with the Bubba podcast, and it helps things stand out pretty easily, especially when you're looking at so much data. The way I presented in the article, I have a couple screenshots of tables that show the total loss or gain value for the different positions in different rounds, or the average per player per round at each position. I sliced the data a couple different ways, and really, so I kind of gave some overall thoughts on my findings. I also had to make sure that what I was doing was correct, because I saw some pretty big deficits in the early rounds. So it kind of had me questioning, okay, well, is what I'm doing correct? Because if all these players are at a loss right now, that can't be right, right? Because we're good at this, supposedly, but we're really not. At least up until this point in the year, we have been horrible at drafting, is essentially the takeaway from the article. But I compared the total dollar values for the main event ADP per what Ariel provided, and then also what the Razzball player rater values are for the top 345 positions, and they were off by $24, which to me was a pretty good check. Okay, this is a pretty, like, all the value is in the two data sets. I can actually look at them. And also, one thing I looked at too was I plotted the individual player valuations. So from 1 to 345 in sequential order, and there's it's like a inverse exponential line that starts out really high and slowly goes down and kind of flattens out. There's one for ADP dollars and one for Razzball dollars. And the Razzball dollars dipped down very quickly in the beginning. And I think that's because since we're only at July, there hasn't been enough time for the best players to separate themselves from the players that are in the back half of the player rater values. But then when you get to the back half of the player rater values, they're above the ADP line. I think it's the same thing. So once we have the last two and a half months of data assembled and the season's finished, ideally, the better players will move farther away from the not as good players. And then I think the two lines will match up better. But, I mean, you got to look at the Patreon to see what I'm talking about. So I'll leave it there. And then for the first three rounds, I also dug into, okay, all 15 picks detailed who they were, their position. And I showed everybody to see how, okay, what was their ADP value? what's their Rasball player rater value, what's the difference, and some observations that I may have had. I did that for the first three rounds, and then after that I kind of just summarized, okay, these are the biggest, like the biggest hits and then the biggest misses for three round chunks. And it was funny. So I think it was the whatever round it was, there was one round where the big hit was literally Brent Rooker for a dollar. He was the only person I included because he was the only positive gainer that I felt was I could mention, because everything else was either zero or negative. So it was pretty ugly in the beginning. And then as you get along, the big misses, the threshold was a lot higher. So I used -$10, but for like a big hits, I used +4 because the misses were more prevalent than the big hits. And the article points it all out. And then at the end, just for a good summary, I dropped down two tables. One has the top 20 most profitable players that were drafted in the top 345. And then it ended up being the 23 least profitable, because there was a couple that were tied for the 20th position at -$22 of value. So that was the overview. That was a lot, but feel free to ask any questions, Bubba, for the listeners.
No, you nailed pretty much all of it. It's very telling. It shows how bad we are drafting, especially early in drafts, and kind of levels out a little bit more, gets closer to leveling out as the draft goes on. And that would make sense, obviously, to the points you made, and just even my brain can kind of picture that values change. So you should be able to, quote unquote, find maybe in my brain, a floor player later on. But again, totally just my dumb brain. So don't let me skew the content that was out there. But yeah, it's very eye-opening. It kind of supports things we've thought about in the past. I love how it definitely correlates to what, like, Ryan and I were discussing on Bubba the Bloom by recapping first half positions, because we were going like position by position and showing where pockets of the draft was good, bad, and everything. And then we look over at your thing, like, oh yeah, that checks out. Because like, if you think back and forth on how the rounds went, definitely plays into it. It'll be interesting to see what your findings are at the end of the season when you look at the full season, maybe compare it to other seasons. Maybe I'm even curious, like on a positional basis, is there stuff like, or there's a whole lot of questions in my brain on how it can work. I always have ideas. None of them make sense, but I have ideas. So
I'm sure they do.
Yeah, to somebody they do. So yeah, it was really cool. So thank you for putting that out there. If you guys want to check it out, it's on Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaBloom. Go give it a look. It's really good stuff to get your mind right on what's going on, and maybe there's some overachievers, underachievers, so on and so forth to build off of going forward.
Just for a little tease, one that probably will be pretty obvious though, but I'm going to say the top most profitable and least profitable, just for the hell of it, because I did tell you these are the guys I was going to tell you to put on the cover for it. So to no one's surprise, I'm sure Cal Raleigh is the most profitable pick in the main event so far this year. Like I say, by how much? I'm gonna say he's the most profitable, and the least profitable is Yordan Alvarez. So hopefully, he didn't draft a lot of Yordan.
Let me ask you this, because we don't care. We don't have to hide everything. It's fine. It's kind of off the cuff here, but give like one or two like the most surprising players, either good or bad. You're like, whoa, they're actually better than I thought. Or because like you mentioned some, it was like the Aaron Nolas or the Devin Williams, like some of these guys we expected it was Devin Williams and Michael Harris, I think, really. I thought they'd be much lower or whatever, and they're kind of close to almost fair value, all things considered. Like, who are a couple players that really stood out to you?
Okay, yeah. So for a lot of the negatives aren't really surprising. I think Logan Gilbert is probably the two most prominent for me are Gilbert and Gunnar Henderson. Gilbert's a $26 loss based on his ADP value per Ariel's values. And then Gunner is a $24 loss per his hefty $37 ADP price point. But there's a ton of negatives here for the negative value guys. And I think one of the listeners pointed out Harris, but he's basically like a zero. He's $1.40 right now, but you're looking at a $23 loss with him. And then in the article, I pointed out how well Sal Frelick is doing. He was someone I wasn't even on my board this year, because I had him last year on a ton of spots, and he didn't steal bases, and he had no power at all. So I was like, okay, what's he going to do for you? But instead, now he has 7 homers, and I think he has like 15 steals, and he's hitting close to .300. So he's been, if you double that, it's a great season. So of course, I don't have him on any teams, but in terms of the top 20 biggest surprise, I had no idea how good Buxton was doing. I did not draft him at a single spot. He's like 2020. I was stunned when I before I even did this, I kind of found out finally what he was doing. So he was a huge surprise. And I'll say Matthew Boyd, he's the fifth most profitable player who was drafted this year, which I did not see at all.
Fifth most profitable, that's impressive. I knew he was having a good season, but fifth most profitable. That's why I just wanted to have you throw a couple names out there to like people go like, dude, like one thing we talk about, and I mentioned earlier, like this really could open my eyes for even more so for auctions, not just snakes. And you look at the ADPs, obviously, there's like a whole other level to this deal. But it goes to show you when, like at an auction, if you go and take that $50 player earlier, you got to go find values. Buxton was a value. Boyd was a value. Like, you're not going to hit on them all, but if like you hit on those guys with, say, you know, an Aaron Judge or something, like you're sitting mighty fine in this situation. And heck, Raleigh was a value technically, now that we're talking about it. So like there's ways to build, obviously, but and it, same goes for the snakes. Like if you found those guys in those rounds, but we talk about other prices that went around them in theory, like they shoot out above everybody else at that ADP. So very interesting stuff.
And I mentioned Ariel as the source for my ADP valuations. And Ariel's a great listen, especially when it comes to auction talk. And one thing he always preaches is that you want to leave. So say that your budget is $260 in a baseball auction. You want to leave your draft with like $300 worth of value, because that way you're going to win probably in terms of assuming those projections hit. And this kind of shows you, okay, if you're losing $10 off your first round player, then you got to make up $50 somewhere else and later in the draft. And maybe that's Cal Raleigh, or that's Chris Bubich or Matthew Boyd or some of these guys that are just having unreal seasons. So it really helps you visualize those points that you might hear somebody make, I think.
No, totally does. It's a really good point. I like that. I've listened to most of Ariel's auction stuff. Somehow I missed that nugget, but that's a really, really good nugget, because it's almost like the idea of a snake draft using projections. You want to be in the 80th percentile type deal with your projections through your snake. Same kind of idea in theory with there. So that's a good way to look at it when you're putting it together. Cause you know, the way I prep for drafts, Ben, like I have all those numbers in front of me, sheets ready to roll. no concerns there. I've already
got a eraser, sharp pencil.
I already know my monetary values. We have nothing to concern ourselves with over here. Yeah. But, all right. Yeah. Everybody check it out. Really, really good stuff, Ben. Thanks for putting that out there. And people keep reading it, enjoying it. And we'll see what's next, but let's get to Fab. Wonderful Fab. It seemed like it'd be a very boring week. Now, did it jump off the page? No. But was it still very active? For the most part, yes, Ben. For the most part, yes. And I found myself on Sunday with longer waterfalls than I expected. Let's put it that way. When I was kind of, especially in 12s more so than 15s, but on the hitting side of things, there was a lot of options to stream for cheap. Pitching, not so much. So let's get to the most added player of the week, which makes, you know, all the sense in the world. Schlitz happens. Cam Schlittler picked up in 193 OCs, as high as 107, as low as a dollar per usual. Cam made his MLB debut this past week, Ben, as you well know, as a Yankee guy. Threw 5 1/3 innings, allowed 3 earned runs, struck out 7. Been quite effective throughout the minor leagues between AA and AAA. 14 starts, 2.82 ERA, 99 strikeouts, and 76 2/3 innings for a 23.5% K to walk. What do you have for us here? Is all I know for sure is he's going to have one or two more starts locked into the rotation. See where it goes from there.
I hope it's a little bit longer. I did get him in a main event. I did not expect to be competitive with my bids, but I walked into rostering Cam Schmidt, I guess combined his replacement with him, Cam Schlittler. I'm going to say his name properly this time too, into one of my teams, maybe two teams actually. Yeah, I watched the game. I think when we talked last week, I was going to pay attention to his Wednesday start, and I did, and he looked pretty good. I think he was a little amped up because he was throwing a little bit harder than what was advertised. He was kind of hitting 100, and his range was more like 96, 98, I believe, and his slider was 93. It wasn't moving a ton. I mean, it can't really move that much when it's thrown that hard, but he looked pretty dominant. He had a little trouble with the homers. I think he had 2 or 3, but they weren't like bombs. They were kind of your Yankee Stadium type homers. They didn't just get over the wall, but they didn't go very far over the wall. So I didn't really hold that against him when I was thinking about Fab. The swing strike rate wasn't really there. I'm looking at his Fangraphs page right now. Schlitz, we'll call him. That's the name you prefer. He had an 8% swing strike rate, but it's only one start. I mean, he was throwing really hard. I think he was kind of – another thing that kind of correlates with him throwing, like overthrowing, because he was kind of amped up for his debut, was he was throwing a lot of pitches high in the zone. I think that kind of played a role in the homers that he allowed. But wasn't a terrible start at all. He had 7 strikeouts. The K potential is definitely there. 2 walks isn't horrible in 5 1/3, but just got to watch that. And I think I hope Marcus Stroman doesn't keep him out of the rotation, because I would be very upset. I already had enough rants last week about the Yankees, so hopefully Schlittler stays around for a little bit.
I agree with you. A couple comments in the chat I want to hit on. PJ says, Schlittler seemed like a really risky buy with Gil. Luis Eel close, and the Yankees sure to trade for SP. Well, this is why I said he's got a couple starts. Eel at the best will be back the end of July, if not early August. That's barring a setback. Let's get to there before we get concerned with that. To your Stroman point, knee injury, and he's not good. So let's realize that. The biggest concern could be the trade for an SP part. I agree with that. But maybe that means Schlitz is in a trade, or it means someone else is. Yeah. Like, there's pieces. They can't keep all the guys at the same time. So we'll see. The other part I'll mention, and again, I'll give you a chance to answer this, is, yeah, we said 107. Most of the bids were like 65 and cheaper in OCs. It's like you're breaking the bank. I think I was anywhere from like 15 to 22. I wasn't going crazy, but I got a couple shares. In main events, he's picked up in 57 main events, as high as 178, as low as $2. There was only 3 over 100. There was a 95 and 81. The most were 70 and below. So, yeah, they weren't like cheap, but we're not talking – we're not talking Burns prices. We're not talking that kind of stuff right now. So all things considered, if he gets 2 starts, so be it. If he sticks in the rotation, though, Ben, this could be a nice little find.
Yeah, my winning bid, at least in the main event that I remember, is only $28. So I didn't think I was going to get him, honestly. I'm like, okay, I was going to bid him. The old keep him honest bid that everyone loves to say. I was honest, I guess. I don't know. Is that what happens when you keep him honest and you win the guy?
You got kept honest, apparently.
Yeah, I was the honest one, apparently. But yeah, I mean, he has. When you see him pitch, if anyone were to watch the game, you see the upside is there for a big strikeout guy, and those are hard to come by at this point in the year. I mean, we've talked about every opening of every show. It feels like there's a ton of injuries, and you have to replace these guys somehow. And I guess last thing I wanted to add was that only 2 spots feel really guaranteed. I don't know if they're going to kick Warren out of the rotation, but he's been very hit or miss too. So if something happens with him. I don't know. His ERA is 4.63, so it's not like he's really earned a position in the rotation going forward. I mean, this is me as a hopeful Yankee fan, but I'm just being realistic because he hasn't – well, Warren's had his ups and downs for sure. It's not like his spot is very safe if Schlittler actually does well. I think I said the first L there. It was close, but I think I said it. So I think there's a couple avenues for him staying in the rotation. Cam, that is.
And I'll also say, with Eel's injury history, who says he's going back in the rotation? Can he go in the bullpen?
That too.
Like, yeah. There's a lot of what-ifs with Eel, but I'm just being realistic. He was already scheduled for the bullpen to start the season before he got hurt. And, yes, he's been good in the rotation, but he's also been hurt. Like, there's a lot of what-ifs in this scenario. So if you can get Schlitz for cheap, see where it goes. I'm all aboard that situation. I'll play the what-if game when things happen. Look, I got Zach Geloff last week, and I dropped him this week. You just move and shake right about now. It's that point of the year. Get the guy and see where it goes. The second most added player this week in OCs, Kevin Gankel, picked up in 168 leagues, as high as 74, as low as $1. He was also picked up in 57 main event leagues, as high as 62, as low as $4. Gankel has not received, or he picked up a save 3 outings ago, which is good. Looks like he's the fill-in with all the injuries. There's Shelby Miller now going down with an injury, getting a second opinion on his elbow, so you know how that's going to go. Kevin Gankel's got the history of closing. He also has an 8.18 ERA this year and a 4.47 xFIP, and he walks almost 5 guys per 9. So I honestly was not even interested in Gankel. I get it if you need saves, Ben. This is a thing. But where do you sit on Kevin Gankel down his own leg?
Yeah, I was only really specking in 1 main event for a 3rd closer, and I decided just to keep Reed Detmers, and I didn't even put a bid in for Gankel anywhere. And I think he's a candidate to get traded himself. I mean, well, the way he's pitching, I don't think anyone would really want him, but because you call that his ERA and how it's not really supported, especially with the walk rate. And his whip's almost 1.7 on the year in 22 innings, so he's been horrible, Gankel. Yeah. But I've said this plenty of times, even with the me trashing all the Marlins closing options, if you need saves, you need saves, and Gankel is a clear 1-for-1 replacement for the Diamondbacks for now. But I don't think they're going to be buying. But like I said, I think Gankel could potentially get moved if he has a good couple weeks here and someone thinks he can help their team down the stretch. So you probably got a closer for at least 2 weeks, and then maybe he's done or out of the job because he's so bad. But it's 74 max in the OC isn't terrible. I don't think the main event prices were that bad either for Ginkgo. I think a lot were in the 20s, which I could definitely sign off of. But also, too, everyone's pretty low on fab, so it's all relative.
Yeah, I could see like a Kendall Graveman stash being something to think about because Ginkgo's just not good, let alone potentially traded, to your point. Things can always change, but I had zero interest in Kevin Ginkgo this week, and I was a quick pass on that one. Zebby Matthews picked up in 90 leagues, as high as 63, as low as a dollar, through a nice rehab start over the weekend. He's supposed to have one more this weekend before potentially returning to the Twins rotation. Zebby Matthews has been hyped up the last two seasons, Ben, and Zebby Matthews has not met that hype train any time at all. So I, again, was not that interested in stashing Zebby Matthews. Where were you at on him?
Well, if you're listening to this, you didn't see me shaking my head the entire time Bubba was talking, because everyone's just, it's like the Lucy and the football again. Zebby Matthews is the football, and everyone's going to swing and kick and miss again, probably, because he's been horrible. Yeah, I had no interest in even specking on him. I didn't even look to add him anywhere, even when he's pitching. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before, but I'm not a believer at all in Zebby being a decent pitcher anytime soon.
Neither am I. And then you also have to worry about, will the Twins throw him enough to actually matter? That is the question. Festa went 5 2/3 the other day. That was nice, but we haven't seen enough of it this season. Colt Keith picked up in 85 leagues, as high as 41, as low as a dollar, first base, second base eligible. Colt Keith, a guy that is really finding his stride. He was the cover boy for the Fab article this weekend on Patreon. Since June 1st, Colt Keith's hitting .302 with four home runs, 15 runs, 14 RBIs, Ben. And more impressively, Colt Keith has a near 13% barrel rate and near 56% hard hit rate over that stretch. Where do you stand on Mr. Colt Keith?
Well, I don't know if you remember or the listeners, but I wasn't really very interested in Keith in draft season at all. I think the biggest thing going for him right now is that he's leading off for the Tigers, which is kind of impressive. He's kicked Parker out of that spot, Parker Meadows, that is. And, yeah, actually, his Statcast isn't terrible, Cole Keith. He has above average in most of the sliders on everything but bat speed. And bat speed is debatable on how valuable that is to a certain degree anyway. So, yeah, quote-unquote, under the hood, looks good for Cole Keith. But I don't know. He had two homers last week. He had 348. He had 375 the week before, 294 the week before that. But he still only has 8 homers on the year, and he's basically played the entire season. He has a little under 300 plate appearances, I think, based on my quick math. And, yeah, 264 in the season, 8 homers. Maybe you're trying to catch a hot streak, but the All-Star break could squash that hot streak. And I don't know if anyone's going to come back to potentially kick him out of the leadoff spot. He is the DH right now. Keith, I mean, Parker could move back up to the top if he gets going, but he's been terrible lately. I don't think there's any really big injury names coming back. Oh, Carpenter. So I guess it depends on how long Carpenter's out. I think that's the one-for-one switch now that I look at the Tigers roster. But it's a hamstring that Carey re-aggravated, so he could be out a little bit of time. But, yeah, I think it's just chasing a hot streak and hoping that he keeps it going. But I'm not too confident that Keith will stay like this going forward.
It's been a month and a half hot streak, though.
Oh, I mean, he had two – so where is he again? He's had 4 homers since week 13, so okay, I'll give him a little more credit than that. But.
He's hitting .302 with 4 home runs since June 1st. So
okay, that's a good month. It's a good month, yeah. But I don't know.
Month and a half.
I'm not buying yet.
July 14th now.
It's a month and a half now, but I just never. It's my bias from how I was on him early in the season. I need to see a little bit more power for someone who's not going to steal bases as a middle infielder in terms of eligibility.
I get it. All right, the next most added player, back to stash season, Shane McClanahan, picked up in 74 leagues, as high as 79, as low as a dollar, through a second rehab start over the weekend, when it can inning in 2/3. It's a long rehab, they called it. So, like, the people stashing already kind of make me laugh, I guess. He could be a game changer, but you're hoping for, like, a mid-August return for Shane McClanahan, barring any setbacks. So, you're going to get a month and a half of Shane McClanahan. Maybe that's great. But, like, my concern, Ben, is do they actually use him to go 6 innings to start? Like, what are the perks here? again, lots of questions, but were you interested in stashing a Shane McClanahan? Because I don't even think he was that available in main events. Yeah, he wasn't even picked up in main events, so never mind.
I think he was actually because
he was in eight leagues, four as high as 46, as low as 6.
Yeah, he was actually available in 2 of mine, go figure. And I kind of last minute added him into my bid list. I did not get McClanahan anywhere. He was actually, if I didn't get Schlittler in that one league, I would have gotten McClanahan. Well, actually, no, I would have got Pablo instead. But yeah, I had McClanahan. I think he would have been my only stash. That's why. If I had multiple stashes, I probably wouldn't have gone for him. But yeah, he started his rehab. Only went 1 2/3, I believe, is what the note says. But if you have a relatively healthy staff right now, which is hard to come by, but if you said some guys came off the aisle for you, I think just taking a flyer, if you can afford one stash, makes sense for McClanahan. He could be very wild because he's coming back from Tommy John plus all the other stuff he was dealing with to start this year, which is what kept him away. But if you went cheap, I think it's a okay gamble. He could be a Joe Boyle-esque follower maybe in terms of volume. I went for Garrett Crochet last year on a main event when he was going 3-4 innings and just dominating with good Ks. It could be valuable if you don't need a lot of wins. Maybe McClanahan could do that this year. Assuming that he's going to be good coming out from injury, that's a big question mark. But I would not have gone $79 on McClanahan. I would have definitely been in the sub $10 range or around 10. I think I was around 10 with my bids.
Yeah, so many setbacks can take place. Every roster spot's important right now. Like I just – mm-hmm. I wasn't in that world of making it happen. It might pay off, but again, it's like a month and a half of what ifs with him. Ha-Sung Kim picked up in 70 leagues, as high as 73, as low as $1. He's got a homer and a steal already. When healthy, he's playing well, but he's already getting dinged up. He has a foul ball off his foot. X-rays were negative. Hopefully he's fine by the week coming in here. There's a lot of moving pieces to this Ha-Sung Kim thing. I have some shares. I'm still a believer because like the games he played very well. So I'm just hoping this is a little bump. We'll see. Where were you at on Ha-Sung Kim?
I missed out the prior week. It was just funny to see his name appear on the top OC ads because it's always like a week behind the main event. And this is another good example of that happening. But yeah, he played most of the week. Kim did until he got hurt on Sunday, and good news on the x-rays. Now he gets a couple extra days to rest. And yeah, I kind of wish I wasn't able to add him. I don't think, cause I think in my leagues he was drafted early and then people stashed him early, so I wasn't able to add Kim anywhere, but I would have for the steal potential. And it seems like he's going to be the Rays shortstop going forward, which was my only question. I think when we reviewed Fab last week, was would the playing time be there? And it definitely will be. So Kim's a good add if you need some steals.
Yes, I'm with you there. He's got a little bit of power, tons of speed, gonna play every day again barring the health situation, so I liked that one quite a bit. Jansen Junk picked up in 69 leagues, as high as $40, as low as $1. This Jansen Junk thing, week in and week out, Ben, has been very interesting. It's like everyone was all excited. Then he had a hiccup, allowed 5 runs against the Giants, of course. Then it was back to 6 innings, 2 runs against the Twins, 6 innings, 0 earned at Cincinnati, 7 shutout at Baltimore. Not a lot of strikeouts, but it's been very, very good so far. Where do you sit on Jansen Junk? I still had a hard time putting in any like relevant bids.
I think he had been long gone in my 15 teamers, so I definitely missed my window. He was added. He was actually dropped this past Sunday in one of my leagues. Interesting, actually my listener league. But yeah, he was added in June in my main events. Junk was, and yeah, you pointed out the low K rate, which was something I would have pointed out. He only had a total of 5 cases less, 2 starts for 13 innings. He got wins and no runs allowed, which is great. So the results were there. So I'm looking at his fan graphs, and Junk has a 1.9% homer to fly ball rate. So I think that's going to regress at some point. But playing in Miami does help. So he has the home park, but 1.9 is extremely low. That's gonna regress a little bit. But even with that, I mean, his xFIP is still good at 3.4. I think it's because his walk rate is so low. Junk's walk rate is 2%, and that's going to keep all the estimators pretty low. I don't know what his ball percentage is. I don't have that readily available right now. But if he's not throwing a lot of balls, maybe that's sustainable. That's kind of like a MLB record almost type rate, it feels like. So just be careful that a blow-up could occur if the homers start leaving the yard, because they haven't so far. But The BABIP is fine, 294. The left on base is fine, 70.6. That's a little bit low, but not terrible. So, but the K per nine is 6.79, and that's just a red flag of this could end ugly pretty soon. But if you're desperate for pitching, it makes sense to add him.
Yep, I agree. I get it. I just couldn't do it. It's one of my things. Like you talked about, like your Colt Keith kind of bias with me. If a guy's not striking guys out, it's very hard to get on my roster. That's the way I look at things. It's like how many times you look at your stat line from a day and a guy goes six innings, two runs, and has like two Ks. And you're like, well, this sucks. Like, it really did not do what I need. Like, if you didn't pick up the win, it was not really a great day for what you were looking for out there.
I mean, if Junk's giving you two Ks per start, I'd rather just start Brian Abreu, who's probably going to give you two Ks in his one outing and pitch two or three times during the week.
I'd rather go like Reed Detmers, to your point, stuff like that, like 100%. So great point in regards to that. All right, we have Yu Darvish picked up in 66 leagues, as high as 109, as low as a dollar. Would not have been quite that aggressive, to be fair. The next bid closest was 50, so it was much more palatable as things went down the list there. Yu Darvish made his first two starts of the season this past week, totaling 8 1/3 innings, allowing 6 earned runs with 6 walks and 7 Ks. I'll say it nicely, shaking the rust off, hopefully, or he's just washed, one of the two. I got a couple shares last week just because I do like his strikeout upside if he could get 5-6 innings. He's a Kershaw-esque type situation, but last week was not ideal, to say it lightly. What are your thoughts on Yu Darvish?
I think we mentioned him last week because he was in the news and he wasn't available for me in my 15 teamers. He had already been added. But as you were talking, the one thing I want to look at because of his rocky start was the velocity for his fastball. I think that's the best indicator of his health and his age. And it was 94.5 in the start, and it depends on where you look. It was 94.2 first per Baseball Savant, and then Fangraphs has that as 94.5. But either way, it's above 94. He was at 94 exactly last year per Fangraphs for Darvish on his fastball velocity. So that's a good sign that he's at or above where he was last season. And the other thing I'll point out was that he faced the Phillies and the Diamondbacks, which are two very tough matchups when you're first coming off the aisle like that. So I think it's probably only up from here for Darvish because he didn't get absolutely destroyed by either team. It was ugly. There's a lot of walks. So that's a little concerning. He had 6 in those two starts total versus only 7 Ks. But if he can just get a little bit sharper, I think he could be pretty valuable. It just might take a little bit of time.
Yep. I fully agree with you on that one as well. But I think there's something there to say the least. But yeah, the matchups were not great. I think he's going to need some time to ramp up, but I got him cheap instead of betting 40, 50 bucks. It was more like 3-4 bucks, and we'll go from there on that one. All right, Andrew Vaughn picked up in 61 leagues, as high as 51, as low as a dollar, taking over for Rhys Hoskins, who's going to be out for like a month and a half, or hopefully back in mid-August, so another month to go for Rhys's pieces. Vaughn started 4 of 6 games since joining. He pinch hit in another one. So he played 5 games, hit safely in all 5 games. He has 2 doubles and 2 home runs. He has 10 RBIs. He's only striking out 12.5% of the time, Ben. And he's barely in the ball 16.7% with a 50% ground ball rate. I know it's a small sample, but pretty damn impressive. And my, oh my, what it must be like being out of the White Sox organization.
It's got to feel great for him. I mean, he probably could have gone to a little bit better team for contention-wise, but it's not night and day compared to the White Sox. Now he's in Milwaukee. The only thing that I'm going to douse what you said with cold water with is it seems like he's in a platoon with Jake Bowers, of all people, because Vaughn came back. I don't know if Monday the 7th was his first day, but that was a righty, and he played. Tuesday the 8th was a lefty. He started. Wednesday was a righty. He sat. Friday, Saturday were lefties. He started. And Sunday was a righty. He sat. So that's 4 starts, 3 lefties, and he sat two out of three versus righties. So it's still early to say because that's a lot of lefties right out of the gate for him to face Vaughn. But I had him in a DC or two. I took him in a main event. Vaughn, I thought he could maybe grow in his age 27 season from what he had done in the past. He had decent barrel rates last year. I know that, and you said his great stats so far since he's come back from the minors. So if he gets full-time playing time, he's a very valuable first baseman because first base has been so bad. We said so many times this year. But I just want to watch we have to wait 3 more. I don't know who the Brewers will have to face on the weekend this week, but it's all righty. So this weekend will be very telling because they're lined up to face the Marlins. Nope, that's last. I looked a week ahead. My bad. Let me go back to this week. The Brewers have the Dodgers. They have Glasnow, May, and Kershaw. So I guess the Friday, Saturday, where it's the two righties, will be telling about what's going to happen with his playing time.
Yep. No, I'm with you. It'll be interesting. Like I threw some darts out there on some Vaughn. I think it was in like anywhere from like $4 to $7. Like, again, not going crazy, but I like the appeal, especially to your point, first base, corner, infield. It's not great. It's not great. So if I can get a guy that can maybe run into a few, I'll take some shots at Mr. Andrew Vaughn.
And I just want to address PJ's comment in the chat right now. Which one? PJ, they are running out Jose Quintana, and Quinn Priester is kind of doing well now, but they haven't been that competitive with their rotation this year, the Brewers. So I know you said that they're one game out of first place, but they don't really act like they are. I don't know. But yeah, they are in contention. I will give them that, but the Brewers could do better.
Yes, most definitely. All right. I'm just hitting buttons now. We're having fun. Just a couple more, because now it's just kind of like Dean Kramer was popular. Dean Kramer. Matt Strom's getting some love. I keep saying he picks up at least one save a week. He does like every week, and he seems to get a save. So in 15s, he should be widely rostered. In 12s, it's harder in 12s, but I get it. Like, honestly, I'd rather have Matt Strom than some of the guys we've talked about. As like, I'd probably have Matt Strom over Kevin Ginkle. What about you?
Yeah, Strom's got a save in 4 of the last 5 weeks. So that seems like pretty decent usage, and he's not going to give you a 8 ERA or a 1.8 whip like Ginkle has this year. And Strom has weeks with 4Ks, 3Ks, which that's more than Junk's last two starts if he had a one-start week. So it makes sense to go that route. As an RP3, I think, which you sometimes do in 12s, and even I did at one point this year in my main event, I had 3 relievers out there. It makes sense to start Strom if you have a if you need a little save help or you have questionable starter options.
Eric Lauer was a popular ad, got pulled early in his last start, has a tough set of matchups coming his way the following week, so kind of kept me off of him, but he has been very good, so I want to highlight that. Max Scherzer, are you buying Max Scherzer? The last outing was very good against Sacramento, but man, there's still so many question marks there.
Only for cheap because of how high the injury risk is for Scherzer. But yeah, he had 8 Ks and 1 walk in 6 innings, and that was in Sacramento, which is very impressive. The ERA is kind of high this year, but the WHIP is pretty respectable at 1.21, and the K to walk on the year it's only 23 innings for him, which has showed you how much time he's missed. So I wouldn't have spent a lot of money on Scherzer just because he is as injury prone as they come nowadays.
What's your thoughts on Ha-Sung Kim, who of the Dodgers picked up in 52 leagues? As high as 34, as low as a dollar. I like him a lot. They say they're going to play him more. We've heard this before, Ben. It's almost like he's playing every 2 or 3 games. Gets a day off, so that's better than what it once was. Still not ideal, but the dude runs and hits for average. Were you interested in him this week?
I don't think I could have been. I think he's been added in. I mean, he's been added and dropped so many times across my 4 leagues. He was added. Yeah, he was added prior to this week. A lot. It looks like a lot of June ads, at least in my main events for the Dodgers, Kim. But it seems like he's in a platoon, which has its value if you pick the right week. There was a 2-game stretch early in July around the 3rd and the 4th where he sat versus 2 righties. Don't know why that was, but he started every game the righty has pitched versus the Dodgers. Since then, he even started once versus a lefty, which is surprising, but there were a couple injuries for that to happen. So maybe with a fully healthy Dodgers team, Kim won't play versus lefties at all. But I think he did have 3 steals last week when I was looking at his – I looked at the ads before we started recording, and I was just want to see who was there. And yeah, he had a 3-steal week last week. He had a steal in the 2 prior weeks, so he's definitely running. And I could probably use that in my 1 main event. Actually, well, all my main events, but the one in particular.
Yeah, makes sense. Like, I like him. It's just, man, I was in really heavy early, not for a lot of money, but had a lot of shares, dropped them because of everything that sucks about Dave Roberts, and here we are. A couple of the highest spent players this week. Mason Winn was picked up in 4 leagues as high as 178. Jesus Luzardo in 3 leagues as high as 159. Evan Carter, Yvonne Herrera picked up in 12 leagues. Bubba Chandler in 16 leagues. Apparently people are getting back on that train, Ben. Really nothing too great. Trevor Rogers, are we full believers in Trevor Rogers now? Picked up in 27 leagues as high as 93, as low as a dollar.
It looks like the K numbers are getting, K to walk numbers are getting better, but then his last start was versus the Marlins. Of all teams, so he should have done well. But while he's pitching this well, you kind of have to play Rodgers. I I don't know who he's lined up for out of the break. He's getting the Rays in Tampa. I think they're pretty good versus lefties normally. I'm not sure, though. I'd have to look at some data to confirm that, but that's not the ideal situation in July in Florida when there's no roof, so that could be a mess.
Looking at the main event, Schlittler was the top added. Ginkle also 57. Vaughn was next at 34. Griffin Jacks at 33 for as high as 14, as low as a dollar. Restarted to spec on a backup just in case Johan Duran gets picked up. Because I know it wasn't even just that. It was the short week. I was looking at guys that could sneak in some innings. So Jacks was on some of my waterfalls this week.
Are you looking at the main event ads right now?
Yes, I'm looking at main event now. Sorry.
Switched over. Yeah. I thought you said that, but I was looking at I didn't switch it. Yeah, I mean, some of the stuff I read said that Jacks could get traded too. So
I agree.
So I don't think I actually included him. At one point, I did have a running bid list for my one main event of spec closes, but I have Detmers on that team already, and I thought, well, there's a chance that Kenley gets traded himself. So the guys I had on the list were pretty no names at all, and I figured, okay, well, I might as well just keep Detmers and save the money for right now and see what happens. I wasn't really stressing over adding a spec because I have two closers right now, and I have Detmers as a potential backup. So I wasn't in on Jacks, and mainly because of, like I said before, there's a chance that he could get traded as well.
Agreed. Masataka Yoshida picked up in 31 leagues as high as 103, as low as a dollar. Yoshida returned from the IL this past week, is playing obviously playing DH because he can't play anywhere else right now. He's get safely in two of the four games. Got a stolen base, surprisingly enough. And no strikeouts over four games, which is also pretty nice. What were your thoughts on Yoshida, if available?
He was he was adding 31 mains. I did not look to add him, though. Some pretty good names, though, were adding him in the main event. There's Rob D, John Posma, Dom Morello, Clark Olson, Jason Santu. So there's some pretty big names adding him. I want power or speed, and he doesn't really give you either. So that's why I didn't even bother to look at him.
And to be fair, there was $103 with $0 backup. After the 103, the next close was a 34. So it's a lot of cheaper bids, but there was one hammer that didn't get a whole lot of love, one might say. All right, Ben, let's talk. Let's talk about our ad drops if you're ready to do so.
Yeah, let me go to my Fab page. All right. Pretty cheap weeks for me because Fab is low, but my New Jersey main. I added Jonah Heim. I dropped Pedro Pajes 3-0. And then I added Keeter Montero, dropped Justin Robleski 2-0. If Keeter sticks in the rotation, he has a pretty juicy two-step the week after the All-Star break, I believe. He's looking at Pirates and Toronto. Toronto could be a little iffy, but I saw the Pirates. I'm like, okay, it's a Tuesday start, so maybe he misses the Sunday and you get a nice juicy matchup for Montero. So $2, I figured take the chance. Let me go to my next main event. So the main event too, it's kind of funny I added this guy. I had Justin Verlander dropped JP Sears 4-4 after trashing Verlander. He's actually been okay. And yeah, you know, you did trash him too. Yeah. But this main event's pretty shot. I'm just doing whatever. And then I had Jacob McCarthy, that is, dropped Dalen Lyle 4-1. People are probably asking, who's Dalen Lyle? Yeah, that's how the main event is. And then here's where I added Andrew Vaughn. I dropped Cade Smith 1-0. So that was pretty, I think I had the lowest Vaughn win in the main event. Well, obviously it's $1, so can't get any lower than that. And then main event three. So this is the one where I added Cam Schlittler. I dropped Shane Smith 28-22. I was very surprised to see that I actually won him. I had the highest winning bid actually in this main event this week. I think Shane Smith is still pretty widely rostered, but his walks have been bad on top of him as being getting crushed lately. And he did have tough matchups. Smith did, but I figured I haven't been playing him in a while, so I could probably take the risk on Schlittler. That is.
You'll get it eventually, I promise.
I gotta say it really slowly and make sure I emphasize that first L, because then I'll be fine. Schlittler. Okay, I added him. It is easier when you abbreviate it like you do. I added Cam again in the listener league. Dropped Logan Henderson finally, 14-8. It seems like Henderson's doomed for AAA the rest of the year, which is unfortunate, but that's just what the Brewers are doing that are so good, right, PJ? And then Added Jake McCarthy again. Dropped Will Benson 6-1. I think I have McCarthy on all four of my fab leagues. I do. I'm the Jake McCarthy guy, apparently. I see him in the run now. But no, that's it.
All righty. So for my first OC, picked up Hassan Kim, dropped Zach Geloff 13-1. Schlittler went for 98 in this league. I was the runner up at 16. Wanted some Colt Keith. He went for 28. So again, being common. And ironically, we didn't talk about him because he wasn't added that much. Bryce Matthews, he was picked up for 19 in this league with no runner up bid. Seems like he's getting the Colson Montgomery treatment, Ben, where it's like most people are like, okay, he's young. We don't know what to expect a ton of. He strikes out a lot. Let's just kind of wait and see where this one goes. The other person I got to think I got Randy Rodriguez, dropped Andrew Heaney, 1-0. I'll play Randy for the week and drop him the following week. Shane McClanahan went for $11 in this league. Another name we didn't talk about because he wasn't added everywhere. Francisco Alvarez was picked up for $12 in this league. He could be back very, very soon. All right, and I'm not a fan of his, but he's crushing AAA, so do with that what you wish. In my Beat Bubba OC, I picked up Mickey Moniak, dropped Zach Geloff 4-0. Moniak starts the week with 3 in Coors, starts the following week with 3 in Coors. Should get a bunch of righties if all things work out, so like that matchup. I took a spec because I didn't. He wasn't obviously towards the top of my waterfall, but I took a spec on Taj Bradley, dropped Shelby Miller 3-1, $3. He'll probably sit for the most part, but something I'm interested in because when I was looking at Taj when I was doing these bids, yes, it's been a horrific season, and I probably will end up dropping him sooner than later. But for $3, I was willing to spec. He coming off a 6 innings, 1 run, 5 Ks against Boston, 5 2/3, 3 innings, 5 Ks against Minnesota, got shelled by Baltimore, but then 6 2/3, no winning, no runs, 4 Ks. Like, it's an all or nothing, it feels like, with him, so that's the annoying part. But in reality, 3 of the last 4 have been very, very serviceable against some decent teams all on the road. So maybe don't start them at home. Because if you look at it, because it was shelled at home versus Baltimore, good on the road versus Mets, shelled at home, good on the road. Like, there's a trend at that ballpark in Tampa Bay. We'll see. But for $3, I was willing to take a chance on Taj. Picked up Tyler Freeman. Drop Andrew Benintendi 3-3. Again, Colorado, 3 at home to start the week, 3 of the following week. So I'm all in on that. Then I got Reed Detmers, dropped Shane Smith 1-1. So I was very much in on a lot of Rockies and Twins this week. Just depends on where they fell on the waterfall. For context, Luis Eel went for 25 in this league with a runner-up of 2. Hassan Kim went for 12. Schittler went for 12 in this one with a runner-up of 11. Shane O'Mac went for 5. So some context for you there.
Real quick, Bubba.
Yeah, go for it.
So I looked up Taj's splits. On the year, he's a 3.76 ERA and a 1.22 whip at home. On the road, excuse me. He is a 5.5 ERA and a 1.34 whip at home. So much better on the road for the season. So good call there.
Yeah, so for $3, I'm like, yeah. He's still getting, like, basically a K per inning. Like, I'm in. Like, we talked about this earlier. If he can take care of business. And the Rays are playing more games on the road the second half than the first half. Remember that, folks. Something to keep in mind as well.
Up for Taj.
250 standalone. Hassan Kim dropped Andrew Benintendi 14-3. Picked up Moniak, dropped Winsiel Perez 8-3. Picked up Chucky Morton, dropped Brooks Lee 6-2. And again, it's a Twins and Coors, but Lee's been horrific. Like, I'll take my chances in that drop situation. And the 250 Vegas, I picked up Cody Clemens heading into Coors, dropped Zach Geloff 6-0. Clemens has been very good, and it should be at least 2, if not 3 righties that series. So liking that quite a bit as well. But Schlittler went for 113 in this league to Zito. Sean Manaea went for 28 to our boy Timothy. Jason Wanick got Kevin Ginkle for 28. He's in first place crushing everybody. So we'll see where that goes. But very, very good league there. And then the Bubba and the Bloom Listener League got Schlittler, dropped Andrew Heaney 18-15. Got Brandon Pfaadt, dropped Joey Ortiz 8-6 and a 15. I'll take my chances. Got Cody Clemens, dropped Norby 5-0. Got Yoshida, dropped Perez 5-0. Got Lennon Sosa, dropped Pavin Smith 3-0. So a lot of moving and shaking in that league as a lot of injuries are starting to pile up. And then in my OLAC, we'll wrap it up there. I got nothing. I got outbid everywhere. And there wasn't a whole... That's one of those teams that sucks, Ben. Like, I need a co-manager in that league because I'm like 6th place. I'm right in the middle. And I'm only a few points out of cashing. This is the one I told you about. You can rotate so easily. And I looked at my roster on Sunday. And, like, I really have zero reason in a 15 to get rid of any of these guys. Like, zero reason. And I'm not going to just force the hand to pick up somebody. Like, I guess I could have, but I couldn't justify it. So that's where we were on that one.
Nothing wrong with that at all. You save money that way doing that.
Yep. But and PJ says quick a hook for Winsale. He is hitting for power, but no average, and in 12 is replaceable at this point in time. That was my thing for Winsale. I will probably stream him three more times this season. No doubt about that, or I'll attempt to. But we're moving, we're shaking. I'd rather play Mickey Moniak for six games in Coors than see what Winsale can do out of the break. That's where it comes down to in these situations. All right, we do have a listener question from the old ex, friend of yours, Ben Tidd. We have our buddy Joe G. Ezekiel Tovar is back this week. That's the plan, yes. And then thoughts on Ciccone, because I did hear that Ciccone was a popular drop in mains. I dropped like 8 or 9 leagues, which shocked me because he's actually been pretty darn good, Ben.
Yes, Ciccone was dropped widely 2 weeks ago by Jason Santo. I think he had 4 of the 5 drops, so it was basically all driven by him. On the year, I had interest in adding Ciccone when he was available and came back from injury. His ERA is 3.44, so that's good. The X ERA is a little elevated. The FIP's a little elevated, but the XFIP's 3.89. And the 15 that will play, I think Joe plays 12s. So he's got a little bit wider player pool to work with. The biggest thing it looks like is his left on base is pretty high, 86%. His ground ball rate is pretty low at 38. So that means his fly ball rate is pretty high. His fly ball rate is not terrible, 42%. It's a lot of line drives for Ciccone. He has a 10.7% swing strike rate. That's not ideal. He's probably a streamer in 12s. In a 15, I'd probably hold on to him, but in Joe's case, I think he's just a streaming option in the right matchup.
He's a streamer. I got some more so in 15s and 12s, but definitely invested. All right, any final thoughts, Ben, out your week recap of Fab?
We're losing you, Bubba, but I think you're back. A little bit blurry. Yeah. Yeah. I'll probably watch the Derby for a little bit. I'll be an idiot because that's what idiots do. They watch the Home Run Derby. No. But I'll enjoy the All-Star break. It's nice not having to set a lineup. I think someone in the – I forget who it was. I remember his profile picture, but he's like – he was stressing that he didn't set his lineups because it was Monday. Then he realized he didn't have to. So hopefully everyone can take a quick break. If you're in the Patreon for Bubba and Ryan, check out my article. There'll be a part two or a finalized version of that come end of the season. I will hold myself to that because I do want to revisit this for my own interest in this to share the info with the Bubba community. I'll call it that. But there is a little Bubba community going on. I mean, you guys got your show followers that are always there to live with you. You got the Patreon now, so it's growing.
It is. It is growing. It's pretty, pretty nice. But appreciate it, my friend. Yeah, for some reason, StreamYard at every hour starts. It's already coming back to better service, but it gets wonky for some reason. So I apologize for that. But we are back to normal service now. So everybody, make sure you check out Ben on Twitter at BreakingBen_T. I am at BDentric. And we'll be back with you guys again next week to recap the Week 18 Fab and more. But thanks for listening and catch you all next time.